Welcome to the Kinjo's podcast. Here we will discuss dance, life, and whatever the fuck we want.
Welcome back to another episode of Kinjo's podcast, Movement in the Shadows. This show is officially brought to you by Kinesthetic. Hop on to store.kinjas.com and plug in the promo code podcast, spelled with the K, at checkout to get 15% off your entire purchase. We're always trying to bring you guys the illest gear for all your Movement in the Shadows needs. Follow us on Instagram at kin.aesthetic. Like us on Facebook at kinesthetic brand. Today we got Pat Cruz is in the house. We also have Anthony Lee guest co-hosting. Really fun conversation with Pat. Pat is a genius in his own right, you know, when it comes to dance and the creative space, to the rehearsal space, to being a director. We call him the general, and you know, we'll get into why we call him that. It's been really cool growing with Pat over the few years that I've been able to share this space with him in Kinjas, but hearing his story and how he kind of grew up and the things in his life that kind of have shaped him to be the type of person that he is today. Really cool stuff that I learned for the first time, so I'm sure it's going to be new for you guys. What's really cool in this conversation is understanding what I guess kind of drives Pat, his why, right? His how dance has influenced his life to where it's at now and how it's evolving, and the future of what dance looks like for him, you know, down the line. Always a great conversation having Kinjas in the podcast. We just, a lot of laughs, a lot of cool, memorable Kinjas moments are shared, and a lot of really good golden nuggets here that you're gonna not want to miss. So I would even suggest take out your notepads in this one, take down some notes. It's gonna be a really good one, a really fun one. So let's get right into it. Welcome back to the Kinjas podcast, Movement in the Shadows. We are your hosts, Ben.
And you got Mike Fell.
And we got special co-host Anthony.
Special co-host Anthony.
And it's a full-on Kinjas episode today. We got Pat Cruz in the house.
What's up?
Pat Cruz.
Repping the Bay Area, director of the company.
The company.
OG member of Gen 2. And of course, Kinjas. We call him the General.
General
Pat's up in here. What's up, Pat?
What's up?
Welcome, man.
Chilling.
What's going down with you these days, bro?
What is going down?
You just came from the Bay. This is your first time up in LA in the new year.
It is, yeah. I think the last time I saw everybody was when we did the Warriors game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. This is the first time. I actually didn't even think about that, and people were like, yo, Happy New Year. And I was like, oh, shit, I haven't seen you guys since the new year.
And, Happy Lunar New Year at the
and
same
happy
time.
Happy Lunar New Year. That's right. Dude, I got a red envelope from, or a couple red envelopes from, students back at the studio.
Yeah, Coco hooked us up with some. Oh, she gave us some gold Bape envelopes.
Yeah.
Swaggy Coco.
Very appropriate.
Two gave us some envelopes as well.
Oh, yeah, two gave us envelopes. That's nice. So you've been up working with company. You guys doing some crazy projects, right?
We just did our first, for lack of better words, high volume, scale production video shoot, I guess.
Yeah.
Shout out to Gerald and Ponchi for helping out with that.
Hey, let's go.
Kind of going on a road trip with us.
For what? What was the video project for?
We're not doing Vibe this year. So we just kind of wanted to just be creative in other ways. And it's something that we've wanted to do, but just within the timeline of a season isn't always possible. So we just figured we have some time for it. So we are going to do it. Going to bang it out.
When are you guys dropping all that?
Hopefully soon. I'm actually I'm editing with Ponchi tomorrow.
Oh, dang.
So. Yeah, dude, making art for art.
Do you want to talk about it at all, or you want to just drop it on the world and let them experience it without any teaser?
Yeah, no teaser.
Yeah, okay, no teaser.
No teaser. What are we talking about right now?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I think everybody loves our Kinjas episodes because I think it gives people an opportunity to kind of get deep into personal life stuff, stuff that you probably wouldn't, get off of an Instagram post or whatever. So for the sake of our listeners that may not know the full Pat story, give us just a brief rundown of the origins, where you're from, how you grew up, how dance entered, blah, 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 yada, yada.
Cool. Damn, it's not going to be that brief, but...
Oh, get into it, baby.
Cool. Box of briefs.
Tell us
the whole story.
Story starts, and I think I've said this on other interviews, so it might be online in places, but story starts with my mom. She was a professional for Ballet Philippines at 16 or something like that.
Shout out Malou.
Yeah. Hey. Shout out mom. So yeah, she's a... Dances Like in the Blood, and then she came to America and tried to work like a desk job, wasn't really feeling it, started teaching ballet at a school, and then eventually was just like, I think I can do a better job at this, so I'm going to start my own thing, and put all of her eggs into that basket. So I kind of grew up in a studio. We opened up Westlake School for the Performing Arts in Daly City, which our studio. When I was like six. So I was like literally, I mean, in a bassinet while she was teaching at the other studio. Crazy. Yeah, yeah. And then like as soon as I was able to dance, she put me into classes. I did like pre-tap and ballet and all that
Prove
stuff.
It.
I wish I could, man. I feel like, yeah. So just growing up inside of a studio, and then we had what was like hip-hop classes, but yeah. They're more kind of like, I don't know what to call them, like street jazz, if you will.
Okay. If you guys didn't see that, he put up little quotations with his fingers next to hip hop. Air quotes. Yeah, that's what they're called.
Yeah, air quotes. Air quotes.
I had to like describe it for the people that didn't know the terminology. You
double
know?
Bunny ears.
Yeah, from this moment forward, we're referring to those as air quotes. Yep. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. So just grew up in the studio, man. But didn't really enjoy dancing till like later on in life.
Your mom kind of made you do that.
Oh, yeah. I relate it to how people are, like, thrown into, like, piano or, like, Kumon and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
What age were you at this point?
I was six.
6 years old.
Wow. Yeah, I was six.
Dang.
Yeah, so just straight up, just dance life. That's all I really knew. I'd, like, go to school, get picked up, brought to the studio, and that was, like, a daily thing, and I would just spend all my time at the studio. But I didn't take it seriously, unfortunately, because it was something that I had to do. It wasn't something that I, like, wanted to do at the time, right? So, yeah, just taking, I mean, fast forward to those, street jazz classes or, like, hip, quote-unquote, hip-hop classes.
Yeah, close.
I think that was the first time I was like, yo, I actually like this, because I'm dancing to like music that like I hear on the radio. And I'm like not forced to wear like spandex costumes and like all this other stuff, you know what I mean? But we were wearing like Dickies jumpsuits. Like it was super like that vibe, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Kind of cool though, right?
Yeah, we did that for like our second Kinja show.
Sure. It was dope.
It was like a terrible Dickies one for us, but it was cool.
Yeah, and then like just fast forward, I met Sean in like what was that, like 2003, 2004?
Yeah.
I think I was like 17, 18 at the time. And he was doing this thing called Groove Junkies, which was like shout out Groove Junkies. It was like, quick backstory on Gentile. And I'm sure if like you listen to his podcast, he talked about we were just like a garage crew. We would like go to his house. Sometimes he would like have to force us to rehearse because really it was just like hangout time.
Was Sean taking like classes at WSPA too, or how did you initially meet Sean?
Oh, word. Shout out to one of my best friends, Phil Grosby. He saw him at Jamba Juice. And was like, yo, my homie gets down. His name's Pat. Like, you should check him out.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Wait, was this Bay Hill Jamba Juice?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think
but so. Like, how do you like check someone out back then though? Like it wasn't like he was holding a cell phone, an iPhone with a YouTube link. Like how did Sean check you out?
I feel like back home in the Bay, like around our area, it's all pretty tight knit, right? Mm-hmm. So like all the high schools, everyone kind of knew each other, right? So also shout out to Stacey Reyes. She's like an old friend that I used to dance with, and she was on Gen 2 with Mike Fowle. And they had all known each other, and I was dancing with her at Westlake. So she was taking those classes with me at Westlake. So just kind of like, I don't know, man, maybe it was like fate that everything kind of like in line, you know what I mean? And he was able to just be like, yo, Stacey, like, what do you think about this dude? Is he cool? And she's like, yeah, you should check him out, boss, and that. And I think we were at a show. I forgot what it was. It was one of those, like, Mission in the Mixes or something like that, that, like, we were performing at and Gen 2 was also performing at. And I didn't know at the time, but maybe he was looking at me then. I'm not sure. But anyways,
came out to the show and then probably saw you.
Maybe, yeah. Okay. But I don't know exactly how it all happened. We should ask him. But I just got the text message like, yo, I'm doing this new thing. Like, you should come be a part of this. And I remember texting Stacey like, yo, he hit me up. And she's like, me too. And I was like, tight. So like we went and did this Groove Junkies thing. And that was a lot of fun, man, because he was doing stuff that it was like progressive in a sense. Like back then we were learning 8 counts, but they weren't to music. And like you would change the track and still just do the same
steps,
routine. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it like had no correlation. And then dancing with Sean, it was like, oh, all this makes sense. You know what I mean? And like I was learning like weird techniques on like how to carry my weight, or like, damn, why is your ball change so smooth? Like, how do I do that? You know what I mean? Like all these random things. So I think like that was the first time I could say like I fell in love with dance. I was like, wow, like this is amazing. I've been around this all my life, but like I'm into this right now. You know what I mean? Because I would take, I wrestled in high school, so I would take breaks from dance like during wrestling season and stuff like that. But I remember like doing the whole Groove Junkies thing, and like I guess, you know, I left a good impression or impact. And then he was like, yo, like I want you to like join on to Gen 2 and everything too. And me and my homie Carlene were like the two that were brought up from Groove Junkies into Gen 2. And it was, I remember at that moment I was like, yo, I'm not wrestling anymore. Like I'm just gonna go push full force my senior year into dance, basically.
Tight.
And from there it just snowballed. Just from Gen 2, we started the company in 05 at Westlake. Our previous director, if you will, kind of had like a, I don't know, some life choices he had to make. So he was like, yo, I can't do this anymore. And then my mom was kind of like, yo, you got to take over. And I was like, I'm not ready to do that yet, you know? So luckily I knew Sean, and me and Sean like did the whole company thing, and just been kind of riding that. And then I moved to LA 2012, talked to Ant through YouTube, I think it was. We were like leaving YouTube comments to each other.
Oh, snap. We were sliding in the DMs early, you know what I mean?
Like, yo, man, we should do stuff together. Like, all right.
Yeah.
And then like Mike was, Val was already here, and he was kind of getting down with like Kinja's already a little bit too.
Just flirting, you know?
Yeah.
You social media flirting.
Yeah.
It works.
So yeah, that's how I kind of.
What year was that, the Kinja's intro?
2012, I feel like.
Like 12, 13.
Yeah, I feel like right when I moved down, it was kind of like, and we weren't even pushing full force yet.
No, like, not at all. It was just still
like
community
shows. I met Ant
shows.
Through like Ant, not through like Kinja's. You know what I mean?
Wait, when was Cry Me a River?
Around like 2013.
There you go. He's got the memory of a genius. I'm going to trust that.
Dude, I'm probably wrong. But yeah, that's how I like, I met like Law and Chad and like Charles through all that thing. And Mike's song. I remember being super scared of Mike's song when I first met him. Like, not super scared, just like, damn, I don't know how to approach this guy. But it was weird though, because I was like,
Thug face, you
know? But then like he did that thing where like we put Visine in his eyes and he had like a tear rolling down at the end of, and I was like,
scene of the video.
He's like down to be funny though. Like, I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't sure.
That was such a whim. Hey, shout out though. I have to put this somewhere in the digital realm. But I remember thinking to myself, I'm going to choreograph this piece a certain way, and I have to see it a certain way. I want to feel a certain way, like a certain kind of dude. But I don't know if I could do that by myself. But I bet you, if I have Pat and George and Mike Fallon in this video, people will believe that I can do that. And I just fucking cheat the system. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no. I remember you asked me to be in this video, and then I was like, hey, Pat and George are here. And then you were like, would they get down? I was just like, we can ask them.
Dude, we were down.
Look at that.
Look at that, dude.
I remember rolling in like kind of nervous too. Just like,
oh, because we had to drive all the way to Boogie Zone.
Yeah.
Shout out Boogie Zone.
Yeah, it was like, dang. ISO World is dope.
That's tight. So as a dancer growing up from high school, did you college?
I did college. Yeah.
Right out of high school?
Yeah, right out of high school.
Fit 'em.
Yeah, well, I did like 2 years at SF State. And I was on like AP at the end of the 2 years, not like advanced placement, but like academic probation.
The other AP. That's that gangster shit.
But I went to like Catholic school, like K through 12, right?
Whoa.
And like private school, like you could never cut or anything, you know, like they would call home right away.
Right.
So having a little sense of freedom, I was like, oh, I don't even have to show up or do homework. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then I like met college friends, and in between classes, I would like just go kick it, then like never go to the next class.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that like, I think I fell off because of the freedom. You know what I mean? But then my mom was like, yo, what are you going to do?
Right.
You know what I mean? I actually just recently told this like to her, because I was like, in my own head, I was like tripping out, because I was like, damn, they're only going to let me take like 9 units when you're on AP. So it's going to take forever to finish.
Right.
So I was like, I got to find something else. And I've always been like super into clothes. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but so I like looked at Fit'em and I was like, yo, I want to do this. And I like sold it to my mom, like, yo, I'm passionate about this. Like, this is something I want to do. But I didn't tell her I was on AP, and like that was the reason like I wanted to leave state. I just told her this recently, though. Recently, I told her this, and she was like, "For real?" And I was like, "Yeah." Dang. But yeah, me and my mom were cool.
She
like
said,
that.
"For real."
But yeah, so like, I did merchandise marketing at Fit'em. When I enrolled, though, you had to get your bachelor's done in LA, and I wasn't ready to move yet, so I only got my associates at Fit'em, and then like from there, my mom was like, just show me a degree and you could pursue dance all you want. But just like show me that like you were at least willing to like finish up school in some way or form. You know what I mean?
With FITM though, were you trying to at least entertain the idea of going into fashion like as your career?
Nah. No. It was more so like I need to study or like learn stuff that I'm like interested in.
Got it.
Because like I would do well in like math classes and like creative writing classes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But when it was like sciences, like learn about a rock or like learn about space or like all that stuff, I like couldn't do it. Or like American history.
That's
way
cooler.
Nah, man, I couldn't get into it. And those are the classes I would never go to. So like my GPA was low, but my GPA was low because I was like just straight failing classes. But I would have like A's and B's in like the classes I liked. You know what I'm saying? Like, so
shout out Gemini.
Yeah, shout out Geminis.
So then you moved out to LA. So you got your associates, moved out to, and that was like the ending of schooling for you officially.
Yeah, well, I finished and I was still at home. Like my dream was never to come out here. But I think like as I just continued to get older and like push dance, 21, 22 years old probably, I was just going full force, right? Like this is all I did. I've never worked a real job, like I've only danced. Like I've been like so blessed to be able to like teach at Westlake as like my form of income, you know what I mean? So I was just pushing dance super, super hard. And then I remember like starting to feel like, man, I gotta be around people like me.
Yeah.
Because I'd like hit up homies like, yo, you trying to get down or like learn this or make this or do this? And they're like, oh, I got work or I got school during the day, you know what I mean? So it was like just kind of this feeling of like, I think I need to be around like others like me. Like, and Jekka had already moved, George, I think, had already moved, and Mike Fowl had already moved. And so like they were doing the LA thing, and I was like, I think I just need to be around like-minded people to continue to like pursue what it is that I'm doing. And I'm kind of like a no regrets type of person too.
Truth.
Like, so I didn't really know what I wanted coming out here, but I knew that like if I didn't try, I would probably like be unhappy with myself. Sure. You know what I mean? Like, and feel like there was something more out there for me that I wasn't taking a chance at. So yeah, I talked to my mom. She was like, you should do it. I talked to Marion, my wife. Shout out my wife, Marion.
And shout out Bobby Gamcruzo.
Yeah.
Formerly Bobby Gambino.
Yo, she just got her name changed like officially.
Oh,
it's tight. It's crazy.
Snap.
It's crazy.
No regrets.
Marion Cruz official? That's Marion Cruz official.
Yeah, oh, Marion Gabriel Cruz. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
She, like, no picked up her ID either. Congrats, Marion. It's real.
Heck yeah.
But yeah, man, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, she told me to go.
Yeah.
She was like, you should go because I know how much you love this thing. And yeah, you should go out because you don't want to have regrets. You know what I mean?
So all your homies from up in the Bay were pretty much all out here. The ones that you felt like had that like-minded hustle.
Right, and we're pushing dance.
Yeah, pushing dance.
Because that's the thing in the Bay. Like, everyone leaves. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because there's nothing out there. Like, but we've... A lot of like dope dancers have come out of the Bay. Oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's just nothing there, and LA is like a hop, skip, and a jump away. Right, so like everyone kind of leaves and does their thing. So like, it's just hard to find people on like that wavelength, you know? And that's like no diss to the Bay at all. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like that's just the reality of it, you know?
How long was your LA stint?
2012 to 2017, I think. I was here for like 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was like what 13? Was that experience like in terms of your mentality? Because I would imagine that's probably the first time you uprooted yourself from home to go stay in a new city.
Yeah,
right?
Super late too. I was 25.
Right. So your mentality that you had coming out here, was this like, yo, I gotta kill it, you know? Because why else am I out here? Or were you just kind of just letting things kind of happen?
Yeah, that's a good question, man. I think for like me, Jekka, and like Mike, we were lucky because Sean was already doing like the ML thing, you know, and I was visiting LA a lot before I had moved to just kind of like be around things and like try things out. And so like in my mind, I wanted to do industry stuff, and he helped me like get signed and everything like that to go to. And I tried it. Mike was on that grind too.
Shout out GTA.
Yeah. And just kind of like feeling like, I want to go for this thing, but like not really knowing how or what to do. And then also realizing like, oh, maybe this isn't for me. You know what I mean? But luckily, like the whole like teaching grind was like popping off at the time.
Right.
So like that was kind of like the outlet that I like went further with. I think in my mind though, like LA was about progression to me. Not like, oh, I got to go there and like get work. It was about like, yo, I can dance every day. You know what I mean? And be around others who want to dance every day. Yeah.
LA is about progression.
Yeah. So it's just like, how can I make myself better in this space? You know what I mean? Or how can I get better from this space? And just dance, just straight up dance every day, because that's like what I felt like I was missing at home. Mm-hmm. And just like teaching, I was teaching every day, but like that's not fulfilling for yourself. You know what I mean? Like you're more giving yourself to others, you know? So yeah, I don't even know if I really answered that question, but.
No. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm really interested in the mentality because from when I knew that you were out here, this is when I think I was still in Vegas during that whole thing, because I just knew that ML was popping off during those years. And I was hearing about, yo, Pat's in L.A. now, Mike Fowles in L.A., and I'm seeing all these videos of ML. And I'm like, dang, dude, there's, like, a lot of dope energy, like, dance energy in L.A. Yeah. that, for me, I felt removed from, because I'm like, I'm over on an island in Vegas. And so from my perspective, it just seemed like everybody was grinding to get it. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why I was just curious to see, like, you know.
That was an exciting time.
Man. That was those really were like good glory time days, dance, bro. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
No, glory days are now, baby.
All right, glory days are now. Glory days.
Those were the Kendama days.
Yeah, but it was dope, dude, because it was just like a hub. ML was like a hub inside of North Hollywood that everyone would just go to, and, like, it was cool. Yeah, it was really, really cool.
So, I think with all the major teaching stuff, though, because that was during the time when I felt like people were doing the international thing heavy too. Like
yes.
I'm hearing people being brought out to all sorts of countries, teaching at all these dance camps and stuff like that. So were you kind of thinking about like, yo, if I need to get like heavy into this game, I got to hop onto the YouTube stuff heavy, to the all social media stuff heavy? Because I know the Pat that I know now, you have like your stints of like, you're like heavy on like IG and then you ghost for like months.
Shout out Gemini.
So yeah, how was that whole thing like in terms of, because I mean, your personality, I'm sure is the same now as it was then, but you know, when you're thinking like, yo, I gotta go in grind mode, so therefore I just kind of have to do the things, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know if like I ever, if I was like super aware of that. I feel like I'm not really good at social media to begin with. And I like, I don't know, for like lack of better words, was like too like underground, like way back in the day when like people were starting to like post stuff on YouTube. I was like, man, I'm not gonna put my stuff on there, like, you know what I mean? And it was so foolish, right? Because like, dude, like, we were a generation that caught the wave early, you know what I'm saying? Totally. Like, it was so beneficial for us. But again, shout out to Sean and the whole movement lifestyle thing. When he was just like starting it, and was using like me, like Subi, Jekka, and George as like his guinea pigs. And he was like doing the whole with like Connor Yuru and like shooting videos and stuff like that. Like, that was my first like kind of introduction to like, yo, you should do this and it will be beneficial. You know what I'm saying?
And then don't bring me back to the Say Goodbye video. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was the moment. That was the door going. Come through the door, my child of destiny. And then he was too underground.
Yeah, so stupid, right? For real though,
but so good. Say Goodbye, that was so good.
Thanks, man.
I remember being from afar, just being like, what the hell is this? I love it. How do we get more? And then he went underground.
Just ghosted again.
That's just how it is. Like, you don't know anything. You're just like from afar. So you're just like, oh man, how do I get more? And then like nothing.
Yeah.
You know? But like,
dude.
Gotta take those opportunities, man.
Yeah, I know, man.
Either way. I think I'm chiming in on that one because it's like, I sometimes feel like I'm like the little devil on Pat's shoulder. It's like, hey man, fucking open your Instagram, bro. Tell people you're alive. Like, you got a social responsibility to like the thousands of people that are following you and that are like, my inspiration doesn't exist today. You know what I mean?
And no, it's like, I feel you. I feel you, man. It just doesn't come off like, it's just not natural for me to do. It's weird. Yeah. When I was like super heavy on Instagram, it's because I was just having fun with it. And maybe that's what I got to go back to doing.
Yeah.
You know
what
I'm saying?
I'm not saying everybody's got to like be posting on IG like their best life every day or anything like that.
Right.
I just think that, you know, like we've all had conversations specifically of like what Kinja stand for and like what we aim to be better for. You know what I mean? And sometimes that means pushing ourselves into those spaces of trying to be like present in a positive light for grounded and humble and foundational reasons of authenticity, like really letting people understand that like, yo, I'm enjoying my best life because I'm doing something that I find fruit and value in, not because like this looks good, you know what I'm saying? So that's all it is. And besides, hashtag Pat Cruisin was also a thing.
That's right.
Well, like, okay, so like in, when you do something, it's cool.
In those days, actually, like Pat was the guy that told us all to download the new app, and I'm positive he told all of us to download Instagram.
Because he's hip, dude. He's always hip, right? Like, he's always in the know. Yeah. And then when like everybody's on it, he's like, I'm dipping because I'm underground, you know what I'm saying? Which is also what makes him so fucking tight. Yeah. So like, you can't like yell at the dude. Yeah. You just like, I'm like, all right.
Totally. You know? That's tight. That's tight.
Just taking over his podcast and talking about him in front of him.
That's what this is this for. Guy,
okay, so let me tell you about Pat.
Tell me about Pat, man, dude. Well, I love, man, you hit on something that I feel like very much captures the essence of Pat Cruz. You said it just has to feel authentic for you
in
everything that you do.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Whether it's the way that you create movement, to whether you care to be on social media, if you're posting, what are you posting about, something that you actually care about, you know? And I think, like, I kind of want to dial it back to, you know, the whole concept of that conversation you had with your mom about schooling even, right? It's like, just show me that you're willing to dedicate some time to this. And if you get this, I'm going to let you go do whatever you want, right?
Right.
And I think that also shows, at least from my perspective, like somebody who knows what they want for themselves, because what's really important to you is like, all right, fine, I can apply myself to school if I really want to. But truth is, that's really not what you're passionate about.
Right, right.
So let me just knock that out and then take that work ethic or whatever that, you know, you're supposed to, quote unquote, air quotes, put into this schooling thing to develop your career path. Now you're going to take all that energy and put it into dance. And, and like you say, you never had a real job, you know, quote unquote, whatever real jobs are. It's really dope to see that, like,
this is totally a real job.
It is now.
It is.
Yeah.
We gotta start changing our vocabulary.
Oh, for sure.
Retail.
I feel like it's because we're making it. We're carving it out so that it's a real job. And I love that we can pioneer things like that. But I think, you know, when I look at your personality and the way that you function in the space of Kinjas, we call you the general. You know, you get into these spaces when we get into
General Patton.
General Patton. Like, you know, when we got into like WAD mode, no, forget WAD mode, ABDC mode, I think was the first time that I experienced General Patton. I was like, yo, this fool's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, no, I've never experienced that before.
I experienced an understanding that somebody like General Patton exists. It was in a shadow element. I didn't actually understand who General Patton was. It was in his first performance with Kinjas. It was Kenya Dance.
Yo.
And, you know, this is like a charity benefit show at UC Irvine, right? And this is like his first time performing with us. And he would come down for rehearsals. And when we would rehearse together, I mean, I don't know how the company or anybody he normally rehearses with rehearses like. I would assume that a competitive team, because I was on a competitive team, like rehearses in a much more strict or tedious manner.
Yeah.
But he just was not ready for the Kinjas rehearsals. And like, yo, I could tell this, we were stressing him out how lackadaisical our nation was. And it's like, yo, the show's in like tomorrow. Like, we're like not done with the set. You know? And it's like, I had to pull Pat aside because I could feel him like hyperventilating on the side. Just like getting red, you know what I mean? And just like a vein popping in his neck. And I was like, yo, man, I just want to let you know, like, this is just how it is.
We're just having fun, bro. Like,
yeah. So when you talk about like changing his mentality, like, I mean, he was not ready for how unorganized, how lazy, how inefficient, how terrible at communication we were. And I think that's what made him the freaking gear that like turned us and threw us into a rotation of like, and I speak seriously on this. Now I'm getting to a point of depth. I remember when Pat was a dude that was getting picked up on the squad, and Ving had just also been picked up too. Me and Mike looked at each other and we're like, whoa, like this project is not so project anymore. Like, like we kind of have a lot of tools. Like we always had like, you know, dancers that we respected, learned from, loved dancing with, are freaking beasts in the game. But the second we started kind of venturing just outside of freestylers / ISO / b-boys, when we started going to actual like urban choreography, like R&B, like hip-hop grindy moves, you know what I mean, like that's when it was like, uh-oh, this is something way bigger. We're representing something more than just like a group of homies. You know, we're representing kind of like a culture of dance at this time frame and of this flavor. And we're all also randomly representing like an Asian American culture. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But Pat was one of the first people that's when it like the gear turned for us and we're like, I think we could do a lot more. Me and Mike had that conversation because of what he brought to the table. Mm-hmm. That's why we started calling him General Patton. And it only manifested and we saw it in its truest form at ABDC when like he started organizing our rehearsals, you know what I mean? And fully in the shadows too because he never takes the limelight, was willing to think of every element from top to bottom, not just like what the dance was going to be on stage but how we were going to get there when it came to the full tiers of the costumes, to the music, to the moments, to how the judges would receive it, to the audience, to the stage dimensions, to like our formations and the way to run rehearsal. Like it was a whole new level that like the Kinjas just didn't do shit like, because we never had to do things like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He took us back into what it meant to be a competitive team. Well, technically for Kinjas, a competitive team for the first time. And like that's when we started realizing this dude was a general, you know, because everybody would also listen to him.
Yeah, I think that was what it was. The competition side or the nature of what ABDC was like, okay, we got to compete. We're obviously not here to lose, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, and that's where, you know, I think
we're here to sell merch.
That's also a win, baby.
And look fly.
Shout out, Dunok.
But like, it was, I guess what I'm trying to get at, man, you know, the authentic side of you that when you care about something, I mean, not to just gas you up, bro, but there is a genius to that, you know what I'm saying? And doesn't have to come from schooling, right. What I mean? And I think that's what's great when we can talk to people who come from all different walks of life or industries, and when you can see their genius. Because I love that we can kind of break out of the mold of success only comes from one pathway. You know, you got to take this pathway that leads you to quote-unquote success. But then, you know, now we realize with tools like social media and platforms like podcasting or whatever, and then having that same grit that exists in all people or most people to achieve something that you care about, and for you to bring your genius and to apply it to not only Kinjas, I would say to dance in general. I think you are a pillar within urban dance, you know, with the time that you put in. Crazy. From the Gen 2s to the companies to the Kinjas, and you know, and then all, you know, obviously circles back to what you're doing now, back up in the Bay with the company. It's just been really a blessing to see your genius, and like, I'm thankful that I get to benefit off of that. You know what I mean? Like, real talk. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
And you really inspire that a lot. Well, okay, so now you did like a 5-year run in LA
and then
you kind of were over it in some sense, or what was the reason why you felt like you wanted to kind of go back to the Bay?
Initially I was going to move out for 2 years and it was just like, try it. You know what I mean? I felt like 2 years was a good amount of time to just try. And then Kinjas was like a big part of the reason I stayed. You know what I mean? Like, because we were getting down within like the first year already of me moving, right? And I was just
fate.
Yeah, crazily. Mm-hmm. Crazily. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I honestly believe that. But I wanted to stay because I was like, this is dope. Like, I'm doing what I wanted to do out here. I'm dancing every day, like I said, training, but being around like-minded people who weren't just like good dancers, but like good people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like, I remember when like me and Mike would talk about like, damn, these are our guys now. You know what I mean? Like, we would hit them up to like go watch a movie. So it wasn't like, yo, just rehearse and dance, but it was like watch a movie, eat some food, go to Bang. You know what I mean? Like, go to Bang and just hang out. Sometimes like I would hit up Ant and be like, yo, what are you doing today? He's like, I don't know, come over. And we wouldn't even dance. We would like watch movies and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Shout
like,
out movies.
Yeah.
Shout out movies.
But like, yeah, so it was just cool to just be around, like I said, like-minded people. And I think that's what kept me here for a very long time. Mm-hmm. But the goal was always, maybe not the goal, but the vision was to always go back home though. Like, I knew that I wasn't moving to LA to live in LA, specifically because of Westlake, and having that as like, I'm like the next, I'm like the successor, if you will, to my parents, right, for the studio. And then on top of that, and then on top of that, just having Marion there, you know what I mean? And I think at the, around the time of moving back, we were having like the serious like marriage talks and all that stuff. So a large part of me moving back was for Westlake and was for Marion. I'd say
so
about
let me,
like
let me
80%.
Paint this in a clearer picture so I can understand. You're telling me that in a modern neo dance legend world of Game of Thrones, you've got like you're like King of the North right now, right? You got the freaking the castle and everything like that, and you have like your betrothed like wife, aka princess, but like will become queen of the North, all waiting for you, and like Kinja's kept you around a little longer.
Yeah, I guess so, man. Yeah, well, yeah.
You know, he's hey, you know, he's just where he's authentically at. You know what I'm saying? Just want to make sure that's cool.
Yeah,
that's a nice little picture, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
it is what it is. Yeah. You know,
it is. That's why I come back too. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like. I'm here because I saw the WoW video. For those of you that don't know, Mike and Ant will hit me up from time to time and be like, yo, dude, I'm just going to like put this out there. I know you're probably busy, but like we're doing this or we're doing that. You know what I mean? Or there's this job coming up or whatever. And like 9 times out of 10, I'm like, yeah, I'm busy. Like my bad. Like I got to do stuff back home in the Bay, whatnot. And it had been a while. Like I said, I haven't seen you guys since like Christmas, right? Yeah. When we did the Christmas Day game. And so, like, I've been itching. I'm not going to lie. You know, I was like, damn, I'm like, that itch is happening. And it wasn't the eczema. It was, like, just the, it was the need to, yeah, it was the need
real.
To, like, you know, like, be around, like, this space again, you know. And I saw the WoW video, and I, like, I went into the group me, and I was like, yo, you guys killed that. And then this very next text was to Ant, Ving, and Mike, and it was like, yo, what are y'all doing, like, for the next 2 weeks? And this was on Monday. Yeah. This is on Monday. Yeah. And he was like, yo, we got, can I talk about what we did yesterday?
Yeah.
We just did like, you know, a little freestyle video thing. And like, we got some video things coming up and we're prepping for Summer Jam. And that's what he told me. And I was like, all right, bet. And I flew out on Tuesday to come and like join in for all the festivities. Obviously I was like, yo, like Marion, is it cool if I go do this? And she was like, go, I know like you need to be over there and doing your thing. So
shout out Queen of the North.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, links to those videos will be in the show notes.
Of course, of course. Well, speaking of which, man, so you're a married man now, dude. So how is life evolving for you now? I mean, with dance obviously still being heavy in your life, but then now you got wife.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. You're just like, you're living for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a crazy feeling because your perspectives and priorities change. Mm-hmm. And I mean that in the best way possible, right? Yeah. But it's just cool to like go through that process and you're almost learning, maybe these aren't the best words, but like you're almost learning how you live again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like
reconfiguring your system preferences.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. Reconfiguring your system preferences. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always say this too when people are like, yo, what's married life like? And one of the coolest things to me, not like the coolest, but something that I really enjoy about married life is that when I go home, I know it's like our time.
Mm-hmm.
So like I don't take, whereas in the past I would take my day with me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So if I was having a day that like wasn't so great, I would go home and I would still be not so great. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But like learning to know that like when I get home, like not to sound corny, but the love of my life, like the person I'm going to spend the rest of my life with, the person who I'm also equally living for is there with me, then it's like all that shit don't really matter. You know what I mean? Like I could have a bad day, but I could come home and be like good. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. For like all the right reasons. So
totally,
it's cool.
Man. That's
it's really
sick.
Cool. Yeah,
that's so tight, dude.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it was man. Cool. I think that was the first Kinja's wedding, right? Pat's wedding,
maybe. Yeah,
I feel like
it, yeah.
Well, for sure, that's the first one I've ever been to. I was like, "Is this the first Kinja's wedding?" That was a freaking celebration, man. And
yeah, Bam got married before he joined, and Keone also got married before he joined.
Yeah,
and we weren't invited to Mike Song's wedding. So.
Did he even have a wedding?
I'm just kidding.
Private family wedding for a great reason.
We love family,
and we just want to party with the dude again.
That's all we want.
I think that's the truth.
Just throw a party, Mike.
Shout out. Shout out Addy too. Yeah. I'm trying to say everything that's gonna be a disclaimer to
this. This lives forever.
But yeah, back to the queen of the
yeah. Mind. So I mean, okay. So like now, yeah. Now that you have this person that's very much the other half of you now. So what is, in terms of how you look for the future, so you have the company, Westlake, you know, you kind of took over that, you know, or you did take over,
ish,
right?
Ish, okay. Yeah, they're still waiting on me.
So what is life looking like now in terms of, let's say, even like a 10 years from now?
Damn, that's crazy. I have, I'm like on year like 4 or 5 of my 5-year plan right now. Like, you know, like you try to set out a 5-year plan and obviously it always changes, right? But I think like I'm at that point where I'm like, okay, it's starting time to think ahead. The priority list is a house and kids. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the priority list. How I get there, I'm
American dream, y'all.
Yeah, still trying
alive.
To figure that out.
Still alive.
Yeah. But you know, it's just like moving on in terms of like family, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. that's the priority right now. And like, we're starting to have those very real conversations as well.
Hey.
But yeah, it's just, I don't know. That's the crazy thing. It's because like I said, like, I feel like the 5-year plan, I'm like getting towards the end of it. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like time to like look out again, you know what I mean? And try to set some goals and figure out how or the way to get to there. But, I think the most interesting thing is that I didn't think we would be here when I was making that 5-year plan, sitting down doing this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. Kinja is just a train that never stops moving, and it has its...
Got that right.
You know, like I said, 2 years, and it ended up being 4 to 5, like four-ish, 5. So I'm just kind of like, keep moving, I guess. Yeah, you know, keep moving, keep grinding. Try to make your goals or your dreams realities, and then... roll with the tide along the way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
man, I love that. So, I guess that kind of leads me to, you know, we all get those questions of like, you know, what happens when you're not inspired, or what do you do when you're scared? And, you know, and
you come back to the Kinjas.
That's a huge part of it.
That's why he's down here right now.
A huge part of it. Well, I mean, like, you know, we always get those questions of the inspiration thought. Like, oh, like, what do you do when you lose inspiration?
And
like, I don't know. I thought I had it figured out, and now I don't feel like I have it figured out anymore. And people get like almost sometimes paralyzed by stuff like that. They're like, maybe I should quit. Maybe I need to go switch my focus to something else. So for you, you know, you said you had this, you know, like 10-year plan. You're at your year 4 or 5, and you're like, I don't know. I'm just moving, right?
Yeah.
So for a personality like yourself,
with direction, you know, like you know where you want to get to.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, also in context, and to be fair, I believe that what we're doing right now in this specific time frame, all of us as individuals and as a group, like, this is all new.
Right.
You know what I mean? This isn't like going to school and then like deciding what your major is and then deciding what you want to be in terms of your career, whether it be like a doctor or a lawyer, and then going to a college that specifically provides for that, and then going into a, you know, like, it's not linear. There's no system. So like, every decision is made every day with like the new context from yesterday's decision making.
Yeah.
And that's just how it is. So like, I can't even... Like, we can all still write down, you know what I mean, a very, very loosely based 5-year plan, and we'll still be putting the catcher's mitt on every single day because something might come in, and then that just shifts everything for 3 months or 6 months or a year or whatever. And that's just how the life is. And that's what makes it exciting and really fun. But at the same time, like, this is the experience that we're currently facing. That's the reality of it. Versus I can't even sit down and genuinely be like, okay, here's, I've hit the end of my 5-year goal. Here's my next 5. Cause like, honestly, I don't know what the freak that's going to be at all. You know what I mean? I know what it could maybe accomplish, but, and those are like very, very extended and flexible and loose, you know, strands of twine holding me to this foundation of how to affect my decision making, but that won't at all be what my 5 years look like. Cause like you said, with Kinja's even too, like, who the heck ever knew we would really be where we are?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, everything changed.
I think that comes with the knowing your why, right? If you have a firm grasp on who you are, what you value, everything, every move that you make comes from that. That's like your compass, right? So no matter if I'm dancing or if I'm going to go into business or go into a relationship, that compass that drives you is going to be the common denominator in all those situations. Out of curiosity, so you kind of having that sort of that generalness to you, you know what I'm saying? Like being able to dissect a situation, see things from all angles, and being aware of everything all at once. Were you always like that as a kid?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I feel like, strangely enough, I was thinking about this. Like, I was taking a personality test with the company the other day, or like some of the company members, and we were just talking about stuff. And on the drive home, I was like, just kind of like, why?
Was it the color one? Was it the four-letter one?
Yeah, it was the four-letter one.
Was it the Harry Potter one? No, okay.
No.
No, it was like the four-letter one.
Freaking Slytherin.
Yeah. ESTJ, too. I'm ESTJ or executive, ESTJ, if anyone's wondering. But
Estrogen.
But yeah. Estrogen, y'all. I think I was put in a position to, for lack of better words, lead at a time I wasn't ready for. So like I said, at Westlake, I had to step in, and like the person that was kind of directing the program at the time, or our program specifically, not Westlake as a school, but just the urban dance, or what is now the urban dance department, had to leave like mid-year. Mm-hmm. And then like, and he was teaching like 20 classes a week. And it was everything from like 6-year-olds to like adults, right? And then so my mom's like, and I was like aiding him at the time, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like just learning how to like, you know, do stuff, just wanting to be around dance. And she was like, yo, you gotta teach those classes, because like he has to do his thing. And I was just like, all right, you know what I mean? Like I was like fresh out of high school, or like maybe was even still like my senior year or something like that. Mm-hmm.
This is your classic Tom Brady story.
Mm-hmm. No, but yeah, just having to be put in a position where it's like, all right, you gotta figure stuff out, you know what right. I mean? And I wasn't good in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Mike knows. Like we would show up to Groove Junkies, and he'd be like, "Yo, what are we doing today?" And I'd be like, "I don't know." You know what I'm saying? Like I had to learn. Yeah, you know what I mean? But being put in a position to where like you so had to learn these skills.
You had to pick up what, 20 classes?
Yeah, yeah.
A week?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now I can't complain anymore.
But it was tight though, because I was young. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I was like, all I want to do is dance. Right, this is cool. Right. You know what I mean? And at the time, what's crazy is that like, yeah, sure, the little kids I was like not so hyped about.
Yeah.
But if you can make information translate to 6-year-olds and like find a way to do that and keep them engaged, like you know how to do that for everybody else. Right. You know what I mean? So I think teaching a wide range of students and like having to find ways to communicate information or make things interesting to people, or like keep them engaged, or even like find ways to like figure out how to explain certain things to them. You know what I mean? Like, how do you explain rhythm to someone that doesn't have rhythm? You know right. what I mean? And then having to like figure that out. Like I heard Bams was like, you're going to walk across the floor on beat, or like right. trying to clap out like the basic tempo of a song. Like, you know what I mean? But like being able to explain those things to even the most, for lack of a better words, like remedial dancer,
sure.
like that all translates later on. Right. And right. I didn't even realize that like I was a good teacher until people were like, yo, you're really good at explaining things.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen up. Pat is for real one of the illest dance teachers I've ever come across in my entire life. And thanks, has taught man. Me a lot on how to teach. So listen up.
Agreed. Thanks, man. Appreciate that, man. But yeah, so like, yeah, I wasn't aware. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I'm just like trying to find ways to make things make sense for people. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like, I didn't realize that it was like all those years of doing that like helped with that. And then I think on top of that, I mentioned I was wrestling in high school, and I think wrestling during those years was very pivotal in the like shaping of who I am today. Uh-huh. Just because like when you're in high school, like you're starting to become, for lack of better words, again, like a man, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like you're building your foundation of like who you will be
right.
for the rest of your life. And then like you go on to college and you start to like exercise those things. Mm-hmm. And hopefully as an air quote adult, like you've built a strong enough foundation to take you into your future, right? Mm-hmm. So I think like by wrestling, I learned a lot of just like hard work and like mental toughness, dedication mm-hmm. type stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where that push comes from.
Yeah.
Like I remember Ant telling me one time, and it tripped me out because I didn't realize it. He was like, yo, you're crazy. Like you'll straight suffer if you believe you're supposed to. And I was like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, because yeah. that means you just got to do it to, right. to get whatever it is you're trying to get, or to be the next whatever you want to be. You know what I mean? And so he was like, that's nuts. Like, think about that. Like, you're willing to suffer. You're willing to make yourself suffer if you believe you're supposed to. And in my mind, I was like, yeah, well, no duh. You know what I mean? But like, I didn't realize that, yeah. like, that was like mental conditioning from the sport of wrestling. Yeah. You know what I mean? Where like, it was about mental toughness and like getting yourself to do things you didn't want to do for the betterment of yourself and of the team. You know what I mean? Mm. So I think like that played a large role in my work ethic, if you will, or yeah. mindset that I've carried with me for a very long time. And even when I like was directing company during like those years, like we were a pretty tough team, man. Like
yeah. we're all hard headed, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We were yeah. It was like a sports team, and it was like almost wrestling minded.
Just wanted to win so bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And also it was just like the whole like way we approach things, and then like I joke around, and the team knows this too. Shout out the company, but. I like moved to LA and they're like, oh, you got soft. Like, so like just being around Kendrick, I was like, yo, it's not all about freaking dancing your butt off and like
what
going
they meant
for it. It's
was
about.
You got more comfortable being sexual around guys.
Nah.
That's the truth of it.
No, but hey, you know honestly, what I mean? You know, really that's what Kendrick. It is I learned, and just to speak on like some real shit, like yeah. I learned that. Like, dance isn't just about being great, and it's not just about getting good, and it's not just about like. That kind of stuff, but it's a social thing, and life experiences are so important. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like the life experiences that you gain are so important. Yeah. So beyond your previous or next medley or whatever it is you're doing, like the things that you're gonna take with you are the experiences that you've made along the way.
Right.
So it became so much more important. I was more aware, and it became so much more important to me that like as the leader of these people. It's not about making us great. It's about like giving us the life experiences that like we're going to keep with us forever. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, and shout out to just like being around again, like-minded people, you know yeah, what I mean? So yeah. It was cool.
It's tight.
Yeah. Again, I don't know if I answered that question, no, but yeah, did. I think it was just you like, did. Yeah, just you're growing going. Up the way I grew
oh,
up.
That was an answer.
That was, yeah, for sure.
That's an answer. I bet you that right there is the clip that's going to be on IG. Right there. Boom. Foreshadowing.
Yeah, well, so speaking of which then, so like for Kinjas to you now, in holistically, you know, married life, companies going on, you're here now, you know what I'm saying? What is Kinjas to you?
It's the brotherhood. And I know like we throw that word around so loosely, or like not loosely, but we use it a lot, you know what I mean? Yeah. So people can be like, oh, it's like, I get it. It's like dance fam, you know what I mean? Or like family or whatever. But nah, it's so much more than that. I feel like it is family, for lack of better words, because there's no better word to use for it, or like right. the brotherhood is there's no better word to use for it, but the extent of what that means to us, I feel like, is almost incomprehensible to other people because mm-hmm. they've never experienced that, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? So yeah, we're like strangely very unique, you know what I mean? Like we're a little bit weird to be honest with you, like mm-hmm. to find a group of guys that can be so down and care for like each other so much is like very unique. About we were talking about this yesterday, about how we've gone through so many crazy life experiences that aren't always good ones, mm-hmm. but like we almost thrive for those not so great moments because we know we're going to become closer because of them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or like, it's not that like
willing to struggle.
Yes,
for the greater good.
Yeah, yeah, and like being down for each other. Like no one. Ever turns their back on the next guy. Right. You know what I'm saying? So right. in those moments, we ultimately, like our bonds become so much stronger. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so like, again, not that like we always want to go through struggles, but like the idea of like when those times come, I know like there's going to be good to come out of it yeah. is like, it's a crazy thing to think about. Yeah. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. We always say this within ourselves, but like, for example, like losing TV shows, like made us so damn close. You know what I mean? Like, and see each other at such deep levels in like a life experience environment that is not normal. Like people don't normally just experience that all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You throw yourself into the most extreme version of some sort of experience, and then you're going to feel the most extreme versions of every emotion or every connection. You know what I mean? Seeing each other at our strongest and our weakest. And it's like,
but it was equal for every person though.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. the crazy thing mm-hmm. to me. You know what I mean? Like no one was ever like half in, half out. Mm-hmm. All of us were 100, like 50% committed the whole time. You know what I mean? Which was great. It was great. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I definitely agree. I think Kinja's is a very unique organism. And I say organism because it's very much alive and very much in a constant state of evolution, you know. And yeah, just I think what you said about the uniqueness of you're here because you want to be here, you know. Yeah. It's not this team that you can audition for. And like you almost can't come in with expectation because things are always changing, right. You know what I mean?
Right.
But then it's being able to be a type of person that can thrive in those changing, you know, elements and those times. And yeah, man, I think it's great to even for myself, as you're talking, I'm gauging like how Kinja's in my vision or in the way that I look at it right now, and you know what it is. It's all of that.
And the way we talk about it too, like I can't wait for everybody out there to find their own version of Kinja's. Yes. You know what I mean? For them, like for us, like that we have a name so that we can call it something. We can talk about it. We can experience it and evolve it and evolve ourselves. Not to glorify, you know what I mean? Like the lives that we have, but we're thankful for it because of the people that are listening to this podcast. But for everybody to like just find a group of people that they're literally just to be, you know, easy to say ride or die for. Because like life is gonna be about that, you know, you're gonna ride and it will come to an end at some point, and then you're gonna probably look back and be like, yo, like how was the ride? Regardless of like how far you went, you're gonna ask how was the ride. And like I look at all the boys, you know, in this room, I look at all the strong and beautiful women that support them, and I think about our ride that we're gonna have together, not like all the goals that we have yet to accomplish. You know, I think about the people that we like come into contact with, the students that come to our studios, or the ones where we go to them, you know, in every nation, in every corner of this world. And I think about like how their ride has affected ours and how we affect theirs, and like how we want that to all be defined in the end when we look back, when it's all over, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I look at the people in my crew and I'm so validated, you know, in my lowest points of life. I'm looking at myself sometimes and I you know, everybody goes through those insecurities and stuff, but then you look at like the homies to your left and your right, you know what I mean? And you're like, well, these dudes are hella cool. These dudes are really good people, and you know, and I believe in them and they're down for me. I must be all right. Yeah. I must be I, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I go back to this conversation. You and I had this exact conversation at Bangoria.
Yeah.
Like probably right when I had moved back to LA. This is like probably 5 years ago already. But yeah, it keeps circling back to the same thing. And yeah, it goes back to knowing your why, knowing what drives you. Sometimes you need to be reminded because we forget. We're human. We're not always at our 100. And sometimes we just need, you know, the brothers to the left and right of us just to remind us like, hey, remember, like this is like why you're here. This is why we value you. And like if you feel down, it's okay to feel down, but just a reminder to yourself that we view you in this way. So like be validated by, you know, the love that you have by the people around you.
Yeah.
I think that's key. So outside of dance though, because I'm sure you don't just watch dance 24/7, right?
No.
How do you stay inspired? Like how do you do things to just recharge Pat?
This is something else that I've been thinking about as of late. I feel like I'm like, I just got out of like a weird, semi-weird funk where I like wasn't feeling inspired by things. You know what I mean? And like finally back into a place where like I'm just creating more and I feel good about creating. Mm-hmm. For myself, I think it's like, we joke around about it all the time. I'm like hot and cold. I'm like a Gemini. Mm-hmm. I'm like very black and white. So there's times where I'm like just riding a good wave, and there's times where it's like the wave crashes and I'm like just chilling. You know what I mean? And I think knowing that things will pick back up again is something that like there's like light at the end of the tunnel, mm-hmm. type of idea. I was just having also like just to bring this up because I think it's interesting. I was like having this conversation with like some of our company like creative board, if you will, and we're just talking about like what like being an artist means to ourselves, or like what art is to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And for a long time it was weird to me because like some of them are like very creative people, right? And they're like they love watching just anything artistic, mm-hmm. right? And taking part in that stuff. And it's funny because I'm like, I just like knowing how things work. Mm-hmm. And so like on the tip of like what keeps you inspired, it's not necessarily like being around, I guess art, if you will, for lack of better words. I keep saying that word, but yeah. I think it's like, I just enjoy like understanding how things work. So if like there's like a new idea or something like that, I'm like, how can I further explore this and how can I like further understand it? And then trying to like ride with that in mind, you know what I mean? So whether that be like on a very low scale of like setting like mini goals within like your creation time or whatever, and like going forth with those, whether they be like concepts or like whatever, or like on a, I guess a larger scale, it's like if I want to do like this, or like this is where I can see myself, like dissecting that and like taking that all apart and then like trying to find like how that all works. You know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah, just like, I'm just interested in how things work. Like I like watching that TV show, like How Things Work, where like you watch like a fence being made.
I love that.
You know what I'm saying? Or like, this is how you make a baseball. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. You know what I mean? Like, versus like, yeah, you know, like I'm not a big movie guy. Like I don't do a lot of, I don't read very
Shout
much.
Out movies.
I should more, but
Shout
yeah.
out movies.
But yeah.
That's what's up, man. How would you define success?
How would I define success? I think success to me is ultimately happiness. Like, for as long as you're happy, you are successful, because success or being successful means like different things to everybody, which is probably why you're asking the question. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? So I think like for myself, it's like whatever, like as long as you're happy, as long as you're happy, whether that be within like your career, because like success isn't like just one thing, right? Like you could feel successful in one thing and not feel successful in another thing, or say like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think ultimately just like as long as you're happy and you feel fulfilled by like what it is that you're doing or where you are in life or whatever that is. I'll say that.
Sick. Yeah. What's up, man? We're going to get into a lightning session with you.
Lightning.
Fire off questions.
Pew, 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 pew. You got sounds now, right?
Yeah. It's like a laser. So right now, lightning sounds just happened.
Lightning sounds.
Made really terrible ones.
So pew, pew. Those are laser beams.
Yeah, those are laser beams for sure. Laser round.
Pew, pew, pew.
So off the top, man, you just got to answer.
Oh, dude, I hope I do well at this.
It's all good, man.
Here we go.
Lightning round. 3, 2, 1. Who is the biggest influence on you as a dancer?
Sean Evaristo.
Boom.
Favorite dance shoes.
Oh man. I go through phases. Like I was super into like the Lunar Prestos, and then I went back to like the Vans old schools, and then I went through this whole like Spiridon phase. But I just picked up these Zoom 2Ks and I love them. So maybe these might be the next ones.
He's about to get like 18 pairs.
Pat always has the freshest dance shoes.
Hey, functionality.
If you had to eat one food for the rest of your life, what would that be?
Japanese food, like sushi.
Favorite dance... weirdest dance style you ever learned?
Weirdest dance style I've ever learned.
He's like ISO.
I don't know. Instantly in my mind, I was like, damn, if I say this is weird, that's probably like not the right look to like something. You know what I mean?
Say it. Real, baby.
Nah, it's just, you know, when I like had to like dabble in like Tahitian and like did like a lot of Tahitian, I can't say I like fully understood that. Like, but no diss to that. No diss to that at all. I super respect it, and I believe it's a beautiful, like,
it was just weird to you.
Culture. Yeah.
Okay. Biggest pet peeve question that you get asked by students.
If the front two rows can sit down, or if the front half can sit down.
That's funny.
I hate that. You know?
Yeah.
I hate that because I feel like in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to take care of y'all back there.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
and
like I got you.
Don't worry, it'll happen. You know, like.
Yeah, but real quick, what's the second?
Extra pet peeve, though, if they're like tall. And I'm like, dude, you could for sure see right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
You just wanted
man.
To talk right now.
one more class pet peeve.
One more class pet peeve?
Yeah.
When your phone goes off. I hate that too.
Ooh, one more class
you
pet peeve.
You hear that, guys?
One more.
One more class pet peeve. When you like. Oh, I'm gonna catch flack for this.
Yeah, that's the one I wanted.
When you like give your phone to your homie to like record you doing it, and your homie's like not standing in the greatest place to do that.
Dang.
You know
classroom
what I mean?
Etiquette,
I don't mind that. I don't mind like someone recording you because like you're gonna study that, whatever. Hopefully you're using it to study and not to like post it on social media and be like, look at me dancing.
That's
like,
exactly what they're doing.
You could have done that outside of class. You know what I'm saying? Like you could have recorded yourself, like, you know, you can get the song, you could have recorded yourself anywhere else. But I just don't like it when it's done and I feel like it's being disrespectful to the class atmosphere environment. So
there's
sometimes students that come up to me as a teacher and ask me to record them like, while I'm teaching. Yeah,
that's super weird.
Yo, it's so mind blowing that I do it.
You're like, I don't know how to say no to this.
I'm like,
so
what?
Crazy.
Oh, sure. All right.
Just be aware of like class etiquette. It's like everything else, right?
Yep.
Like even something as simple as going to the movies, there's like a certain etiquette there. You know what I mean? So like, I don't know, whether you're new to dance or whatever, just like be mindful that there's an etiquette and like just be observant.
He means
right
don't
choices.
Talk in the movie theater.
Yeah.
I know you said you didn't really like, you don't watch a lot of movies, but then I know you watch TV shows. What's your favorite TV show?
Oh, I go through phases too. I mean, Game of Thrones is coming back in April. Ooh. I can't wait for that.
A little GOT.
Yeah,
GOT.
Man.
Okay.
Dude, yeah. King of the North.
There it is, man.
Nah.
If dance is no longer a part of your life, what are you doing?
I don't know.
He'd be eating.
Professionally eating.
I don't know. Maybe be like a stay-at-home dad or something like that.
Dang,
Mary gonna make that bread. Let's go.
Well, I don't know. Like, I don't know anything else but dance. You know
word,
what I mean? Like,
word.
It's kind of...
Hey, man, you went to school for merchandise marketing, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do know about that.
You know what I'm saying?
Market some merchandise.
Hell yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Favorite Kinja's... I said
that's
performance.
It, just favorite Kinja.
In order.
Dang, ranking all the Kinjas.
I'm just trying to get top 10.
That's tight.
All right, anyways.
Favorite Kinja's moment. Doesn't have to be a performance.
Damn.
But just moment.
That's a bucket.
Yeah.
First Crusade. We were a little bit intoxicated,
hella drunk,
and it was a room full of dudes that I wasn't all super close with yet.
Hella dudes,
and we were just being very like outwardly spoken about like our emotions and feelings,
hella feelings
towards like each other and the squad and everything. And I was just like, "Damn, this is very unique." And in that moment, I was like, these are my dudes. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was just cool. It was just a cool moment of, like, I remember, like, or I don't know if you guys remember, but, like, just some real shit was said.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, I too have these feelings. And sometimes you have feelings that, like, you're not always going to put out there because you're like, man, will I be judged by saying something like this? Or am I going to be embarrassed? Or, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, or, like, should I share these feelings? And everyone was just so openly, like, sharing their feelings, and I was like, this is cool. We're like grown ass men at a crusade sharing our feelings. Like, I get down with this, you know what I mean?
With like liquid courage,
liquid courage.
Like,
man,
I get down with this. So, yeah, I would say that
that's tight.
There's a ton of great ones, but I think that was the first time I was like, yo, like, I get what this is, and I'm with it, you know what
that's
I mean?
Tight. Who's next up?
Who's next up? I don't know. I feel like that's a loaded question. I'm gonna shout out Trev. Trev's doing his thing right now.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Ooh,
I'm a fan of Trev.
Trevor.
Yeah.
He's doing his thing. What is your biggest fear?
Oh.
My biggest fear is that we are inadequate.
To like lack fulfillment, I would say.
Lack fulfillment.
Yeah. Lack that's like tight. Personal fulfillment in whatever it is that you're doing. Yeah. Because otherwise, like, what are you doing it for? You know what I mean?
Good. Less of, more of. What would you like to see less of in the world and also more of in the world?
I would say like less like selfishness and like doing things for like personal gain. I would say more of like taking the time to like understand something before like you judge it or like before you put forth judgment to it. Because I feel like if both of those things went in there, it would probably just be a better place overall. You know what I'm saying?
Truth.
I had like a weird conversation with my Uber driver on the way over here about this yesterday. Wow. Or on Tuesday. Yeah. Tight. But yeah.
You were talking about.
Yeah, it was cool.
With your Uber driver.
Yeah, and at the end of it, he was like, yo, thanks for the conversations, man. And I was like, yeah, man, sick. Thanks for the conversation. It was dope.
That's tight.
Every once in a while, you get a good one.
Yeah, yeah. That's super dope.
He's just like super lit.
Doesn't remember it.
What's your golden rule?
Golden rule. Company just got done with their retreat, and we had like this whole mantra thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to say what I said for that, and that's... That nothing worth having comes easy. And I think like that was something that like I put in my mind during like those wrestling high school years. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like there's almost a duality to the meaning now, in that like, yes, everything you want, you have to work for, or everything that's going to be worth it, you have to work for. But also to remember that everything you do have, you have worked for, and to like be proud of those things. Ooh, as well. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah. Super sick, man. Man, Pat, dude, it's been really dope just growing with you in the past 5 years, I would say. I've grown to know you. I think during those ABDC WOD times when we're like just hyperbolic time chamber, you know, we're just in the tank and just in it. And just being able to see you function, sure, in the dance space, in the studio and getting work done space. But as you're saying... which I fully resonate with is the life experience stuff. You know what I mean? Like, so those things kind of in some ways like force us to be in like this very concentrated time, and we're getting work done and you know, all for whatever, like TV shows and whatnot. But all the stuff that the side conversations, the drives to and from the rehearsal spaces to the studios, the times we go retail therapy, you know what I'm saying? And like,
hell of retail therapy.
Yeah, stuff works, man. But man, it's been a real blessing and a pleasure to just see how you are as a person. And I think I can see just through the way that you talk to the moves that you make, you really do care about people. And I think that is why I think you put so much work into the things that you're doing, because you're doing it with these people that you care about. You're not like, yo, let's just get the job done, I'm trying to go home. You know what I mean? Like, 'cause that could be a different approach. And I learned a whole lot from you, from movement, you know, actual physical dance movement, to mentality, and the way, like Ant said, man, you have an ability to break things down and teach things to literally anybody, you know. And I've learned a whole lot from that. But yeah, dude, I just get stoked anytime you're around, because it's one of those like, oh shoot, Pat's here, like stuff's gonna happen, you know what I mean? Like, and whether that be we're gonna like produce some dope stuff, or we're gonna kick it hella hard and it's gonna be hella fun, stuff's gonna happen, you know. And that's just an exciting thing, I think. And I look forward to just all the years to come of how, because I view this is a lifetime thing, you know. Kinjas is a lifetime thing, and we're gonna be those old men that are gonna grow old together, and we'll see where dance is at.
Many lifetimes thing.
Yeah. And so, man, thanks for coming on, dude, and just dropping.
Thanks for having me. This was a lot of
dimes,
fun.
Man. Dropping the gems.
Thanks for coming, dude.
Hell yeah. We're all saying thanks for coming home. Thanks for coming
back.
Thanks
for coming home, Pat.
Thanks for helping build this place, bro. You know? Thanks for helping us, you know, carry the flag.
Just thank you, man.
Just thank you.
Yeah, dude. For the sake of, you know, all the social media plugs, man, where can people follow your journey?
At store.kinjas.com.
my IG account is just PATCRUZ. I'm not really on there very much. I come back from time to time. Actually, I haven't opened up Instagram in like a little over a week.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's crazy. Do we have time?
Just say it. Yeah. Dude, plug whatever you want, man.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like, I saw this J. Cole interview. He did an interview with Angie Martinez. And like, I realized, because like, all right, I'm not active on Instagram, but like, I'll like watch stuff. I'll like look at stuff, you know what I mean? Whether that be Explore page or my own feed or whatever it is. And I started to realize that like addicted is a strong word, but like when I like took a step back to just be like, I'm just gonna kind of like take myself out of social media for a little bit. 'Cause I was in like a little bit of a funk, and like, I just wanted to like try different things to like get out of it. like I would answer a text message and then close the text message and then open the app, open the IG app. But like out of impulse, not because like I was like curious, just like by habit I was doing that. Or like I'll unlock my phone and then just like click on the IG thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or like I would wake up and open IG before like I opened up emails or like opened up text messages or like, you know what I mean? Like all this weird stuff. So I was like, I think I just got to take a step back to
He's talking about me right now. I'm sweating as he's talking about
it's not a bad thing though. It's not a bad thing. It's just like for my own personal sake, I was like, I think I just need to make some changes to like make my personal self better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
And again, I'm not anti-Instagram at all or anti-social media at all. But yeah, when I do come back, check me out at PATCRUZ.
There it is. And what's the companies?
Company fam, at company fam.
That's what it is, man. You're a very freaking self-aware guy. I think that's tight. You just know, like even the ability to recognize like, yo, I'm doing this by habit. Maybe I should break that. You know, not to say that it's bad if you do, but it's just being aware of it.
Yo, like, I have like a very addictive personality though. So like I got to keep myself in check at times. Marion helps keep me in check too.
That's
Shout out Queen of the North.
Queen of the North. Yeah. Shout out Marion. Yeah. That's what's up, man. Mike Fowl, send us home with some goodies, man.
Yo, can I plug something else real quick?
Oh, plug away, bro.
200 Northgate Avenue, Daly City. Come check us out. That's West 6th School for the Performing Arts. We offer a huge range of classes. If you're like a beginner and you just want to like try urban dance, or like you're you got a 6-year-old daughter that wants to learn like ballet and tap, like we got it all. And also check out the company. We like host workshops all the time. Follow us on Instagram. We have a class every Tuesday. Come check that out as well if you're in the Bay. And yeah, I just wanted to plug that in there.
Hell yeah. Hey straight up,
called,
man.
Yeah, what's this thing called? Urban Paradise? What's that?
Oh yeah, we got Urban Paradise coming up. You know, come check that out too.
Urban Paradise is gonna be the illest. I'll link
everything
in the
show notes.
Hey, I gotta say though, man, if you come through any sort of company, anything, you're gonna get the illest training straight up guaranteed. So if you want to learn how to dance, you're up in the Bay. Get yourself there,
and you're gonna be surrounded by good company.
Ooh, that's another pun for Ant.
Cool. Well, full show notes and all links mentioned will be at kinjas.com/podcast with a K. Hit up kinjaspodcast.com/iTunes and give us that 5-star rating and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. Questions and concerns, you can get us at info@kinjaspodcast.com and message us at all social media platforms. That's at kinjaspodcast with a K. Last but not least, make sure to click the share button. Tell a friend. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you. Thank you so much, guys.
Yes, thank you for all the ratings, all the reviews, the DMs.
You. Oh, slide into the DMs.
Slide into our DMs, man. Respond and regram all of that. I think we did it, guys.
We did it.
We did it.
Thanks for listening, y'all. Peace.
Let's grab some food.